Moncrief on News Talk.
Munchausen's by proxy is a rare but disturbing condition where a caregiver, usually a parent, will fake or even induce illness in a child to garner attention for themselves. A new study from the Netherlands has identified a new variant on this where people do it to their pets. Catherine Scroop is a veterinary nurse and founder of Salty Dogs Kerry. Good afternoon, Catherine.
Hello, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I imagine this is the kind of thing that's hard to spot in that you don't know if they're making this up, if somebody walked into your clinic.
Yeah. So I suppose from a vet nurse point of view, working in practices, I suppose you definitely see owners coming in that would definitely require a lot of reassurance, showing signs of high anxiety, not necessarily out of deliberate kind of cruelty, but certainly over, they call it animal abuse by falsification. It's another word for this syndrome, but it's more animal driven. So I have definitely seen it in practice before of the behaviors of owners, not necessarily labeling it as this, but it's certainly something that is seen within practices in Ireland and Europe.
Yeah, because I suppose the difficulty with this is it's pretty difficult if it was a child, but even more difficult if it's a pet, because you're relying 100% on what the human says is wrong with the dog.
Yeah, 100%. So I suppose when we look at animals, they obviously can't speak for themselves. So our job as veterinary professionals is trying to figure out what's wrong. And vets are out to obviously diagnose and treat the conditions. But I suppose when the owner is coming in and out and showing behaviours where they're constantly looking for reassurance, maybe we can't spot anything or can't diagnose anything. No signs of illness when they're in the practice, that can be a red flag where we're seeing that actually the dog or the cat or the animal is absolutely fine when it's in with us, and when the animal is at home, the owner could be telling us something completely different. So that could be a flag that goes off as well. But it is very hard to recognize. I suppose it's a pattern of behavior maybe as well that the vet would see with this owner coming in and out or ringing a lot. So it's hard to identify, and it's something that I suppose this study is really interesting because it obviously looked at, you know, veterinary practices that are seeing owner behavior. There was also a study done, I think, back in 2001 in the UK where it looked at it, over 1,000 veterinary practices got questioned about it. And I think 40% of them had said that they have seen these behaviors, and that was almost 20 years ago. So obviously it's still quite, you know, a subject that's being brought up at the moment.
My word. Are there any are there any particular things that if somebody comes in with a pet and says X is wrong with them that you think, well, I'm going to, you know, that they tend to overdiagnose the animal almost?
You would see a kind of, I suppose, behaviours of clients that maybe they might be ringing a lot and they might be saying that the animal isn't improving, or if the vet prescribed them something that it's straight away, it hasn't done anything. Or, you know, I suppose in that article, quite in the study that was done, they were looking at people who would kind of almost cause abuse to their animal for the reason of bringing them in, you know, and that's obviously something that's completely welfare driven. Like, our job as veterinary professionals is to maintain and promote the animal welfare of the animal, but also to promote the environment and owners as well. So it can be really challenging. And I suppose any vet in a normal situation, if, you know, over time it was incessantly happening and they couldn't find anything wrong with the animal, in that sense, they would probably refer on, or they would talk to colleagues about it. But if it was more a psychological behavior issue going on with the owner, then we are safeguarding people. We safeguard animals and the owners, and we would have to bring that forward and work with other teams of people to see if there's actually a psychological issue going on with the owner, because we need to make sure that the owner has informed consent and is in their right mind to be able to look after an animal.
Gosh, and who do you refer that on to in those situations?
You would probably work with, maybe like local authorities. You would get the guards involved. You could get some support involved in terms of to see if the owner is in their kind of right mind to be able to look after an animal. Sometimes we would see this in kind of elderly people maybe who might have Alzheimer's, and they're coming in and they're trying to look after their animal, and maybe they're forgetting to give medication, for instance. And in that sense, we would get maybe neighbours or other family members to help as well, or carers that might be coming into the person. But for a more psychological issue like this, it would be definitely, you know, you would be getting authorities involved to see. And quite often or not, you know, people forget that the vets and the nurses that work in practices, we are probably the first people that can come across signs of abuse going on in the home. Because when you see, there's been studies done that when you see animal abuse going on or cruelty in animals, it can be the first indication that there's cruelty or abuse going on at home with people as well. So we have to make sure that we're safeguarding not only our animals, but our people as well, and making sure that people are, you know, have the capacity to look after animals.
Yeah. In that kind of scenario you cited before about if somebody, say, has Alzheimer's and they're just forgetting, if you can't get family support on board, does that mean eventually that pet might have to be taken from the person if they're not
usually
able to look after them?
Yeah, usually like the practice will work hand in hand with the owner. Like at the end of the day, we're always there to promote the owners and to help the owners and support them as best we can. So it might be that, you know, if this person had a neighbour that was a nurse or somebody worked in the practice that could help them, that could be an idea. Or that, you know, there would be a vet that would be assigned to the case that would be able to kind of help this owner more often than not. So usually the practices will work with these people, because the last thing we would want to do is upset the animal and the owner if they are in a state where they're forgetting to give medication or things like that. So we would always try and work and support with them and try and get some help involved, whether it's community service or somebody that could call to them as well, you know. So it would be very last resort that anything would be done like that, but we try and work with them to help them.
Yeah. Generally speaking, when, like, if a dog or a cat comes into you regularly, I assume they get to the point where they recognize where they are. And they might be happy about it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we always promote, you know, when owners get puppies, like bring them into the veterinary practice as a happy thing. Bring them in, give them treats, meet the receptionist, have a chat, go again. You know, don't just bring them in when something's wrong. Bring them in as part of their routine, even if it was just to weigh them on the weighing scales. It's all about kind of habituation and getting them used to, you know, the vets being a positive place, that it's not going to be somewhere that you go and something bad is going to happen, you know. So we definitely try and promote that, and you'll see a lot of practices will be doing puppy parties and classes in there to try and get puppies used to the environment. And you'll see that vet nurses do kind of puppy clinics where they're there just to kind of be with the puppy and get them used to the environment. So it's not always seen, we try not to make it into like, oh, it's seen as a bad place where everyone is very scary and it's stressful. You know, we try and make it and promote it into being a place where you come and we're all happy to see you, you know.
Yeah. So do you occasionally have a case where you're thinking, this dog just likes coming in here? There's not a damn thing wrong with them. They're at home pretending to limp, and then they come in there and they're wagging their tail and jumping around the place.
Yeah, well, you would see that, because I suppose when dogs are in their most comfortable environments, that's usually when the owner will see if there is something wrong. If there's something legitimately wrong with the animal, it's usually at home when they're relaxed and it's in their own environment. When they come into the vet, sometimes they can act very normal because it's a new environment, it's new sights and sounds and things like that. So quite often or not, the vet might ask the person, can you video the dog at home or the cat at home if they're showing behaviours that aren't normal, or if you're telling me that something is wrong, can you record them and send it to me? And that can be a good way of us then being able to see actually if there is something going on. Mm-hmm. Quite often than not, like, I mean, with this case and this article that was written, you know, with the cost of veterinary practices and, you know, vets in the media currently at the moment are getting a bad rap for how expensive they are. And there's been a big CMA kind of study done in the UK about the rising prices. And there's lots of factors that impact that. I wouldn't see that owners would be coming in and out and paying, you know, for consultation fees unnecessarily, really, in commonplace. You know, you might see it very rare occasions, but, you know, in the media lately, the CMA, the Competitions Marketing Authority in the UK, have done a big study into the rising costs of veterinary practice, and it has lots of elements to it. And I think people give vets a bad rap, you know, by saying how expensive they are. But there's lots of elements that we need to take into consideration with that. It's not just what's going on in the world at the moment and the cost of everything, but it's also, you know, owners want a lot more from veterinary services these days. They want top service. They want top options. They want you to cure their animal. And in order to do that, we need to put money into equipment, expertise, training, and all of that. So all, you know, cost is involved in that as well. And also, with our corporates. There's lots of corporate businesses buying up veterinary practices now, and that comes with the rising price then of consultations. So this investigation was led in the UK to look at all of this, to see why people were giving out and why people weren't happy. So it's all about being transparent about pricing. It's all about making sure your owners have informed consent that they can make decisions, because they know that there's options there and the price of treatments and things like that. So that all kind of is linked into this as well, because I suppose, you know, as a vet, if you're treating somebody and you're seeing them every single week and the animal isn't showing any signs of illness, then at that point, any sensible professional would then start looking into it more and seeing what else they can do.
Catherine, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Catherine Scroop there. She's a registered veterinary nurse, as you heard there, and founder of Salty Dogs Kerry.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.